You think Stolen Valor is the worst thing they have on that guy? You're going to see some stuff. You're going to hear some stuff about little boys, like high school kids. You're going to hear some gnarly come out about him. You're going to hear a bunch more stuff about China. And keep this in mind. If he's the Democratic VP nominee with Kamala, he's on the ticket at the DNC. Like you don't think they're going to hit him pre-Labor Day with like the nasty stuff, right?
No. You know? Yeah, you got to be strategic. You're right.
He stood up a gay club at one of the high schools he worked at, taking a bunch of kids to.
It's a weird interest with underage people, you know?
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, man. And then he's taking a bunch of kids to China with him. And, like, there's a lot of dirt. Like,
oh, I'm excited.
Why does China want Taiwan?
I think it's a narrative, most importantly for them, that they have to make up for the losses and the communist revolution that they had. And then, you know, so the other thing too, everybody's concerned about a hot war with China because it is the, you know, the biggest peer-to-peer conflict the United States would have ever had or would ever have. But China, I think, is going to try to do this a little bit more subversively. They want to pay people off there in Taiwan to change the political narrative so that their realignment is Taiwan's idea, if that makes sense. And they want the Taiwanese people to have political leaders who make it in Taiwan's best interest to realign with China and then box the United States out that way. Welcome in, everybody. We're here with Baker Levitt, Black Rifle Coffee director, but also Baker. I know we're going to jump in and we're going to talk about Vote for America. Want to talk to you, but also want to get your opinion on a lot of the other stuff going around here in America domestically, foreign policy wise. But let's hear about Vote for America. And then I know you have a lot of really interesting statistics that Chris and I like to talk about too, with people who, like we say, like to be left alone, but need to participate. So
yeah,
appreciate you coming on and supporting us.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. Let's get into it. So Vote for America. I'm trying to think where to start it off at. Like, so this election, so Vote for America is a voter registration, get out to vote project. And what we are targeting apolitical social media personalities that don't talk politics, but their interests fall in the, you know, military, veteran, first responder, hunting, 2A,
right,
prepper, homeschooler. And we know that most of the people in those verticals are conservative. Okay. So we don't,
right,
like, it's not 100%, but it's 85 plus. And we're getting them to talk about issues on their social media to their followers, about things that they're concerned about and how important it is to vote. So it's been wildly successful so far.
Right.
And what I really like about it is when you look at people that don't ever talk politics, like in the South where I'm from Georgia, I live in Florida. You don't talk about money. You don't talk about religion. You don't talk about politics. You don't talk about how many
people
you have. Those are kind of off limits. But the landscape has changed and you have to talk about politics. It's important that you state your position because there are people that care about what you have to say and listen to you. And if you don't vote, that's two votes for the other guy.
Yep.
And my thing is this. I believe that George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, George Bush Jr., Barack Obama, and for the most part, Joe Biden, and I'm meaning Joe Biden's intent. Joe Biden's a vegetable with vascular dementia or loose body dementia, whatever you want to call it.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe that they want, and Donald Trump, they wanted their best version of America.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that. I know that there's a lot of dudes in the military that served or deployed during the Obama administration and absolutely despise that guy. But I do believe that what those guys wanted was their version of what they thought the best America could be. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with that. I don't agree with all of them. I don't agree with everything, but
I agree.
The thought of Kamala Harris and Tampon Tim Walz ascending to the White House.
Michael Waltz.
And dude, I don't gaslight people. Like, I'm not into gaslighting. It's not my thing, man.
Sure.
Like, I like to talk about facts or statistics or my interpretation of facts. Like, it's not like, hey,
right,
I want to get this person upset. I don't try to control by that mechanism. I'd rather right. educate you and get you to kind of shift your opinion. But that scares the living shit out of me. Mm-hmm. So if you like, who is this woman? I'm being serious. Who is this woman? What has this yeah. woman ever accomplished? Tim Walz, he lied about IVF treatment. Like, this guy
right.
has lied about everything. His entire life is one casual relationship with the truth. And if his you service. Look at his military service, he was in the National Guard for 24 years. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Yep.
He signed up to do the Sergeant Major's Academy, which is 2 years plus an additional 2 year commitment. Okay.
Gotcha.
So I think when that happens, you get frocked with that rank. And then if anything happens before that right. 4 year period, you give the rank back. Mm-hmm. And so he decided they got a warning that they knew they were going to deploy. And he decided, I'm not going to call him a coward. That's not my place to do that. He decided that rather than go get locked up in some 15-month deployment, that he would rather run for Congress.
Right.
And I can see why someone would make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's kind of shitty, like, in that position, like, you're the guy and you're like, yeah, we're fucking doing this. And then you
right. never made it. Now the rubber is meeting the road post 9/11 and you're bouncing. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I like to understand why people do things. So as mm-hmm. long as I can justify in my head, like, why you're doing something, it makes it easier for me to form an opinion about you. So
sure.
Let's assume I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he was like, shit, man, if I do this, my window to run for Congress closes.
Okay.
So I can understand. I can say, okay, I get that. That makes sense. Did the boys need you? Like, you know, I don't know, whatever. And so from the time, so he retires, which means he goes back to E8. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So my question is, D214. You're in the Air Force for 14 years.
Yep.
Was there ever a day when you did not know what your rank was?
Never.
From the day you Never. Started until today, have you ever been like, what was my last rank? You know what I mean?
No,
so that's weird.
Yeah, you are well aware, and you are made aware constantly what your rank is in the military.
Yeah, and you know what your job is. You know who answers to you. You know who you answer to. Chain of command, right? That's
exactly.
I mean, that's dumbest it. Guy, the dumbest bastard knows that, right?
100%. Okay.
So, and I would be willing to bet that the majority of the people that have never served in the military have no idea what a command sergeant major is.
Right.
You know, and so. Okay, so that's a pointless lie.
Yeah.
You didn't further your career by saying, I'm a command sergeant major. No one gave a shit. No one gives a fuck. You're in the National Guard, man. Like,
right.
There's anything wrong with that, but it's like, no one cared. So that was a stupid lie, and he told that lie for, it's 2024. He was probably started telling that lie, and like, he's been telling it for like 20 years. It's weird.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah, but 23, 24, 2003, yeah. 2004. Yeah.
So, and then he's like, you know, I'm a state champion high school football state champion head coach.
Coach, yeah.
He was not. He was a volunteer, like, defensive coach.
Defensive coordinator,
another
yeah.
stupid-ass lie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just served no purpose. No one gives a fuck, dude. State champion coach. That works, because that's a true statement. But he adds sure. that little lie. And then, like, today he was saying, or the other day, some footage came up about, you know, or then, like, you know, when I carry, you know, this carried the weapons of war.
Right. You said we need to ban weapons that I carried in war, right, on video. Like, he doesn't realize that everybody's got a cell phone in their pocket nowadays.
Yeah. And so that's another pointless lie, because he could have worded that differently and gotten his point across. I completely right. disagree with that point. Fuck you. You're not taking
Absolutely.
Shit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Like, you're not going to take my rights away. This is the first mm-hmm. time in the history of the world where people have marched and protested demanding their government take their rights away. This is crazy.
Right.
But yeah. that's another example of a stupid ass lie
mm-hmm.
that served no purpose. He did another one about IVF treatments with his wife. They did not use those.
Yeah.
And there's been a few other things. I don't remember off the top of my head. Normally it's late here. It's 9 where I am, but I can rattle these.
Yeah, appreciate you.
My point is, like, his entire existence is a casual relationship with the truth. And it's mm-hmm. like you meet someone, you know, that's like in an MOS, like a SEAL or something that's like, you know, I was never in the military. When I meet soft guys, I'm like, oh man, that's fucking cool as shit.
Like, sure.
You're a Ranger, you're a SEAL. And there's always that little, you meet those guys that it's just not enough for them. It's like, oh yeah, I was a sniper. It's like, bro, right. you were like a trident wearing Navy SEAL. Like, that's cool enough for me, you know? Like,
yeah, you don't need to embellish anything.
Yeah, you don't need to, like, add that little pointless lie, because then it just makes you a liar. Now you're no longer,
it's like meeting
you're just a liar.
It's like meeting the dude from your hometown who you played football with, and then you go home and he hasn't done shit but work at the used car dealership, and he talks to everybody like he was the starting QB, and y'all won back-to-back state champs. It's basically what it is.
I have a guy I went to high school with, mm-hmm. and every time I've ever seen him, his name's David Massaros.
Okay.
I'm not bragging, I'm using this. I was the best person.
Understood.
Well, I was the best person on my high school football team by far. Okay.
Yeah.
Went and played football in college. I went and was on a college football team.
Nice.
I didn't play. I mean, I was just on the team.
It's right.
good enough to get Rusted. There. And I played a little bit, but like my best years, dude, were like in the rear view.
Sure.
And I remember.
Not everybody makes it there.
And these guys were like, they just, there's so many, and I'm 49. Like, there's so many guys that just still won't let go of it. And it's like, dude, I can't like bend over and tie my shoes without like getting a little bit out of breath, man. Like, that was so long ago. And I think there's a lot of people that have regret for not attempting or trying to do something.
Sure.
Because their spirit's scared to fail. And I was thinking about this like the past couple of weeks, man. Like, I've been creating this speech in my head, and it's like, you know, like, secrets will eat you alive. They'll mm-hmm. kill you.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But you can cure that just by speaking it into existence. Like, hey, man, mm-hmm. I have a secret. I got to get this shit off my chest. It's been driving me crazy. That's how you cure that. Regret. There's no cure for regret.
It's poison.
And I think there's just a lot of people. And that's like one of the, I say this all the time, man, like, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me was learning how good I wasn't, and what, you know that saying, like, what might have been.
Mm-hmm.
I learned what was not, and that was my ability to play football in college. And honestly, not failing, but like just that rude awakening at such an early age. Like, I learned on like the third day, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? This guy
I'm not these guys. Yeah.
This guy can jump up and put his dick on the ceiling. I can't jump that high, you know? Like,
right. My dick ain't that big. No, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You meet these crazy people that have these just insane talents, but
right.
I don't know how in the hell I got on the subject. I just ran it and raved, and I do this from time to time. But
no, it's the thing. It's like people have to be okay with their place. Right.
Yeah.
Like, so for me, right, I was never special operations. I was never special forces. I was a military police officer. And there's a lot of opportunities to sit and embellish what I did, especially maybe responses. I can make up stories, or like a lot of people in the military, you'll catch, they recycle other people's stories because they want to be valor adjacent, or they want to be cool or have street
cred,
right?
Implied valor.
Exactly. Valor and valor adjacent, implied. I like implied valor. Right. And it's so easy to do that. And there are a lot of people in the military who will call you out on it, especially if you have really good friends. They'd be like, hey, man, you know, like, you've told that story before, and it gets better every time you tell it. Right.
Right.
And there are people like that. And it happens in the civilian community, too. Absolutely. People, again, like, you go back to the high school football days, you know, let's check tape kind of thing. And but it's one of those things where you got to be okay with your place, and you have to be okay with accepting who you are and have confidence in it and just own it, man. Yep. You know what? I really wish I would have tried this, but it's not a regret. And I got to be okay with who I am. And people will respect you if you know and you embrace who you are over, you know, you basically clinging to something you never were because you feel like you could have, but you'd never tried.
Yeah. If I'd had someone push me, or, you know, if I'd had a mentor, but it's
probably.
If you Google my name, it says Baker Levitt, Navy SEAL. And there's a reason for that.
Right.
So my partner in Killcliff, Todd, was a SEAL.
Yep.
Then I was like the face of the brand when we started it. So for all these years, everyone thought that like I was Todd. And I'd have people do You have no idea. Hey, man, you're a team guy. You're in the SEALs. It's like, no.
No.
No, that's Todd. Right. I'm talking about Todd. That's not
right.
Me. Like, I would go out of my way to, like, and I never forget, I had this guy. He's like, hey, man, you know what's going on. You know what time it is. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, man. Like, and he thought it was like a secret someone was a SEAL. It's an older guy.
Okay.
And I was like, are you asking me if I was a SEAL, sir? And he's like, you got any stories? And I was like, it's funny you ask.
Bro.
No stories, because I wasn't a SEAL. That's Todd. That's my partner you're thinking of. So
right.
A lot of guys, dude, like, I know a couple guys like that kind of coexist in my ecosystem
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, implied valor. Like, oh, thank you. Like, one dude's like, yeah, sure. I was a DOD contractor. It's like,
right.
You're a musician.
Blackwater?
You are a musician.
Right.
You know, like, technically, yes, you are a DOD contractor. But when you put DOD contractor, firearms instructor,
sure,
it's like, hey, man, dude, you're toeing a gray area. That's not a good place to be, man.
No.
So
all anyway, credibility out the window the second you get caught.
Yeah, but vote for America. So long-winded answer, but vote for America. We're trying to educate people on how every single vote counts. And voting mm-hmm. yourself isn't enough. You need to take one person with you, because this vote, this election is going to come down
to voter
turnout. It's very, very low. Very, very low energy around the election as far as voter mm-hmm. turnout. So don't believe the polls. If you're a conservative, which I am, don't believe the polls.
Same.
Polls are full of shit.
They were saying Hillary was killing Trump back in 2016. 98%
to 2%, man.
Yeah, I remember
if
that.
If you dig into like the polls, they're over-indexing Democratic polls.
Yeah.
So like, if you look at where is all this energy coming from, like there are certain states where a woman that has a tan skin is mm-hmm. going to cause them to lose their mind, and that is the state of California. So they're the enthusiasm is coming from like hubs that don't really mean anything. So mm-hmm. like, if the Democrats win California by 7 million votes, they get 54 electoral college votes. If they win California by one vote, they get 54 electoral votes. So dig into the polls. Like, if you see polls and you start getting depressed, just even if they say Trump's, just throw all polls out the window. Because they're mostly over-indexing Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, what's important is voter registration numbers. So the Republicans are kicking the shit out of Democrats as far as voter registration numbers are concerned in the swing states.
Mm.
Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Virginia's in play because the new vote, the election laws, the executive order that Youngkin just issued.
What about Georgia? That's gone kind of back and forth
Georgia's going to be red. Georgia's going to be good. But new voter election integrity laws. You know, Trump went after Kemp few weeks back, and mm-hmm. I was like, well, what is he doing? Why is he attacking this guy?
I know.
And then now you see all the crazy stuff that's starting to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of bananas, man. Like that the Secretary of State, some weird stuff's coming out about him. There's a lot of stuff of like matching. But there's a lot of monkey business in that last election. I'm not saying that they stole it necessarily, but I will tell you this. They walked right up to the edge of what was legal and what was not legal.
Yeah.
And that is where they operated.
I'm so glad that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just saying, I'm so glad you said that because that's called brinkmanship, right? And the left is very, very good at the game of brinkmanship to see what you'll tolerate. They'll push and push and push the envelope until you decide that you're going to push back a little bit. They'll cool off a bit, and then the next time they'll take a little bit more ground, right? And they've gotten really brazen with that, especially over the last 4 years. But the things that and it's cultural stuff, it's societal stuff that they're doing. They play this game of brinkmanship with and flirting with the line of legality and illegality when it comes to, like you said, ballot harvesting and these things. They're no stranger to it, but you got to recognize it for what it is. And they're basically saying what you'll tolerate until, you know, you decide to put your foot down, and then they'll keep pushing.
Yeah. So they, when you look at the major cities, I'm not racist. I'm going to refer to black people as black people. You know, when you look at like
most black people I know refer to themselves as black people.
Yeah. So like when you look at like if you wanted to go do a ton of ballot harvesting for black people, African Americans, whatever you want to call them, like, where would you do it? You go to high-rises in major cities. So you can go to one building that has 300, 500 units in it.
Sure.
Doors. Versus, if the Republicans, the Trump voters were trying to do that, they'd have to go in rural areas, and that just, you're talking, it's just a lot easier because it's more condensed. That demographic is more condensed in major cities and like these tall buildings and whatnot. But I think that I'm happy with where we are. I'm really happy about the information about the news about RFK coming out today.
I saw that. His VP candidate saying that they were thinking about, do you think that'll actually happen?
Yes.
I agree.
Because they're scared to death of Kamala Harris and like, Is RFK capable of running the country? Absolutely not. No. Hell no. His VP choice, like if you do a little digging on her and how she got her money and where she came from, she cheated on her husband with Elon Musk or something weird.
I haven't seen that. Wow. Okay.
Left her husband, took $1 billion from him. Like,
wow.
In a divorce.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, not like a really good person. But,
sure.
What RFK is really good at is being an environmental attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's some stuff like Trump. Like, I could see him coming into the Trump administration, and Trump just like kind of cutting him loose on some stuff.
He would definitely be value added in that area. I agree. Department of the Interior, something like, I don't know, you know, around there.
Yeah, yeah. So there's something there for him, and then you've got Elon Musk, who said, "I am willing to serve." Putting him in like some type of government efficiency office.
Yeah.
So we know how efficient
his tweet the other day. Mm-hmm.
Firing people, which would be fantastic. I would absolutely
turn Vivek loose on those people and slice and dice them into pieces.
I think Vivek's, you know, send him to the border. I would absolutely love to see Tulsi Gabbard get her hands on the VA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's qualified. I think she's a colonel in the Guard.
She's a light colonel, yeah.
Yeah, I don't lieutenant colonel. I think I don't know if she's capable of taking on an elephant that big, eating an elephant that big. Mm-hmm. But like, if you put the right people under her, I'm sure she could handle it. Baby steps. You know,
she's very bright.
Yeah, baby steps. Like, hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to start slow, and we're going to start with the shittiest ones and work our way up. I think she could do some pretty remarkable stuff. I would absolutely, I would lose my mind to see Eric Prince as Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
I'd go crazy.
Dream team.
And then Senator Hagerty from Nashville, I'd love to see him as Secretary of State. Who else is the other person? Oh, yeah. Did you see where he went on Theo Von's podcast?
Who? Hagerty?
Trump.
Oh, Trump. No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that dropped today.
Okay, no, I haven't seen that yet.
I have a buddy that's like, I have one of my smarter friends, one of my top three smartest, most level-headed friends.
Sure. It's always good to have one of those.
He said, I would say that podcast is without a doubt more substantive than anything Biden or Harris has ever done. Theo's questions are unorthodox, so it's actually engaging for Trump. It makes it hard for him to monologue and say talking points. He legit hits so many really good subjects, better than any network interview ever.
Yeah, no, that people when he did that X Space recently with Elon were trying to attack him for it and saying that he sounded stupid and that was pointless and they couldn't even get off the ground because of that DDoS attack that happened to him. Listen, man, what you just said about how he can't get stuck in that box of just political talking points. It humanizes who he is, makes him more relatable. First off, it's way better than anything that Harris and Walz are doing because those guys don't want to talk to the media. And frankly, I think they're not even going to let them talk to the media until we really hit the ground running on this after like Labor Day, okay? Because they don't want them to expose themselves or how stupid they are. And that one clip that was running around recently of right before what the DNC was going on right now, somebody asked Harris about her policies, and she just, again, you know, word salad, nothing of substance. And I think they know that. And I feel like they've learned their lesson with Joe Biden right? That anytime they put him in front of anybody, that he's just going to ramble and he's not going to say anything of any sort of substance. And I think that the debate he did with Trump was 100% on purpose to make him look that way, to put Kamala Harris in there, even though they talked about how, you know, before how they could replace her, right? But they're going to keep her out of the public eye because they know that if they do, all these people that seemingly blindly want to vote for her just because she's a woman or she's quote unquote a black woman will see they have no defense in what she is and who she is, because she'll basically, you give her the rope and she'll hang herself.
Every time she speaks, she goes down in the polls. Every single time. She gave her little economic speech. She dropped 12% on Polymarket betting.
Yeah.
And the betting odds, yeah. That's not the end all be all, but like, you know, Polymarket, like the betting, bookies try to level the playing field, you know, give a slight edge. So like they follow trends and all that stuff, but
like a handicap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just not serious people, man. Like they're just,
I agree.
They're just not, like, you can't, she can't talk. She,
she talks in circles the whole time.
She's one of those people that tries to sound smart.
Right.
And use like a lot of words, catchy phrases, and it's like, you sound like an idiot.
I mean, like, burdened by what has been, right? Yeah, this thing's
still no idea what that, I don't know what that means. I've thought about that.
It's actually a communist trope. This is something that comes right out of the Marxist playbook. These are things that Trotsky and Marx himself were talking about. This is a literal quote out of that playbook, just like the joy, strength is joy, or whatever.
That's definitely
strength through joy. It is communist. 100%. They are the most radical people we've ever had campaigning for office. And in a serious way. Obviously, we've had people who are crazy, but these are the people that are getting traction. The most intense radical people we've ever had.
He's been to China like 35 times. He has no assets,
dude.
He has no money. He has nothing.
I pulled
three government pension funds.
Yeah,
and to me, it's like, how you don't know? Like, you're like 57, dude. Like, and you've had two jobs. How the hell do you not have any? Like, where's your money? Like, I'm not saying you got to be rich, but like, you need to have something in the bank.
Sure.
Something.
This has been a point of contention recently, and I just shared something on Twitter about how this is getting finally brought up, his opinions on China. And I pulled this up because I want to read it directly. And this is a Walt's quote when he was a high school teacher in Nebraska. And asked about what communism in China means. Says it means that everyone is the same and everyone shares, right? This is from 1991. All right. Mm-hmm. I was 4 years old when this happened. A man named Michael Cebulik, who is, I want to share his credentials here. He's a senior fellow in the Indo-Pacific Studies at American Foreign Policy Council, says he's strongly and shockingly naive description of Chinese Communist Party's rule. I would say no shit. That is 100%. And he's essentially outing himself as a socialist and as a communist. If you're going to sit there and you're going to say that the Chinese brand of communism is everyone the same and everyone shares, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And the media, of course, is in lockstep. This is what they're really good at. And it's something that you can say that the left is very good at, is getting right behind one another and supporting each other almost immediately, right? But this small little excerpt here from ABC, now that Waltz is Democratic vice presidential candidate, Republicans have accused him of a decades-long relationship with communist China. You know, trying to make this a Republican issue as if you as the regular American shouldn't be concerned about it, right? And then saying it doesn't matter too here because Beijing does not expect U.S. policy to thaw regardless of who is in the White House. Yet, over the past 4 years, they've made it sound like the Biden-Harris regime or presidency is better for the U.S.-American or American-China relationship than Trump and Mike Pence, right? So it's just, they can't even make up their mind about what they want. They're trying to make his ties and his opinions on China to be a Republican issue, when really what it should do is just concern Americans in general.
Yeah, I completely agree with that statement. He's been over there 35 times. He taught. He was married in Tiananmen Square. He's fascinated.
On the anniversary of it. Yeah.
Yeah. My head is, if I woke up tomorrow and my head was stapled to the floor, I wouldn't be as surprised as I am right now about what's going on in our country. Like, we were in London in in Belgium this past June. Okay. And I don't know if you've seen what's going on in London right now.
I was just thinking to ask you if you saw any of that anarchy going on.
Yeah, dude. So I was over there in June, and I remember thinking to Melissa, telling my wife, I was like, there's no middle class here. Like, it's wealthy elites. And then it's working class. And that's why this place isn't white. It's all Arabs and Indians.
Yeah.
I think London is 38% British now.
Mm-hmm.
Just a mass migration.
And the Crusades in reverse.
Listen, dude, if I was from India, I'd be wanting to get some ass too. I mean, I would be like, all right, motherfucker, you're coming.
Right.
I read a book about what y'all did. I'm coming to beat somebody's ass.
I
don't blame India. It's just a new company. Yeah. But the reason the customer service over there is so good is because those are careers. Like, this is your job. You are now a server in a restaurant, or you are a car salesman, or, you know, like, that's their, and like the government provides them with so much, dude, housing, food, stipends.
Yeah.
And so they're controlled.
Kind of Europe in general.
If you're a good
boy,
you get all your stuff. If you're bad, also, they don't have any weapons. They don't even have knives, man.
Right.
Like, and that's why no country has ever invaded the mainland U.S. is because they know that there will be a rifle pointing at them behind every blade of grass.
Blade of grass, yeah.
And that's pretty alarming. And I think whomever is in charge of this evil, diabolical scheme.
The them.
Is in our country right now is... They're trying to eradicate the middle class.
Yeah.
But you kind of start breaking down some economic numbers and you look at our housing situation and you look at a bunch of other stuff that's going on. Like, I think that I truly, truly believe they want to eradicate the middle class, because then if they just have a working class and an elite, you know, they can control it. But, you know, back to London, if you look at my point about London not having a middle class, in the U.S., if you're going to run for office, you're going to be a senator. You are a very wealthy person. It costs about $10 million to win an election at a minimum.
Yeah.
That's what it used to cost, dude. It costs way more than that now.
Yeah, you or I could not run for office like at that level. No.
And then if you look at Congress, the Senate is 6-year appointment commitment. Congress is 2 years. And we have some incredibly wealthy congressmen, but we also have some like lower upper class congressmen. And there's probably there's a handful of middle class people in there, but they become upper class relatively quickly, but usually by their second term. So when you start thinking about things like that, it's very difficult to purchase U.S. elected officials. You go to London, they don't have any money. Even their elected officials are lower class. Those people aren't anything special. So it's very easy to manipulate people that don't have anything. If they have power, but they don't have money. What do people with power always want? Money.
Money.
What do people with money always want? Power.
Power.
So if you look at all the countries that sit within the Commonwealth, like, that's some of the kookiest shit going on the globe during the pandemic. Like, Canada, what's going on up there?
Dude,
Australia, what's going on? New Zealand, guys, what's going on?
Well, what's crazy is we would consider Canada, the UK, Australia almost like American cousins, so to speak. And to watch those countries who, you know, Australia is in the Pacific, but what, you know, we consider them ideologically Western, to see them go as hardcore into the lockdowns and almost, you know, Chinese in some aspects over there in 2021, it's kind of scary, because you look and you see those people, you're like, man, they're adjacent to us. And that could be us, right? And it sort of engenders that idea, like, hey, man, if these allies of ours, who we consider to be as close as we consider the Australians, UK, and Canada, is happening there, like, what's you know, when's the spillover coming essentially here, right?
Well, that's our middle class protects us. It's like the strength of the U.S. military is the NCO. It's non-commissioned. Okay. Strength of the United States is, one, our Second Amendment, First Amendment, Second Amendment, and our middle class. Those are the three most important things we have.
Yeah.
Australia's elected officials are being gobbled up by Chinese. China's very, very close there. So
yeah, them in New Zealand. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's going on in those places. But then if you look at what happened in the recent French elections where Macron sacrificed his entire party.
He torpedoed him. Yeah. Yeah.
Hot. Just to retain control for himself. It's like,
dude. Insane.
And then also, I don't know if you've seen any photos of his wife.
I have.
That's a little.
Saw some recent ones. I agree. That's Big Mike in France. You know what I mean?
little Miguel. What's up,
right?
Miguel?
You're right. I like it.
I will French tell you this Big one, Mike. Back to the U.S. elections. That's the one person I was terrified of was Big Mike.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, they're going. Why would they not give it to Big Mike? And then Big Mike was like, "It's not in my soul to run." And I was like, "Oh my god, we're safe."
I know she checks all she checks all those boxes, man. Well, really,
women would like if she women. I don't care if anyone says I'm a sexist. I don't give a shit.
No, you go right ahead, dude. This women is open forum
make their decisions, political decisions based on trends.
Yeah.
Men tend to make their decisions based on policy.
Mm-hmm.
So my cousin Lizzie and I were like, she's like, "Oh, I just like her." And I was like, "What do you like about her?" Like, I don't play gotcha games with people.
This is Obama or is this Harris you're talking about?
Kamala.
Okay.
And when you play gotcha games with people and you like go in like ready to debate and you humiliate them, you can never have another conversation with them, and they'll resent you forever. Mm-hmm. So I don't do that. I just kind of tear up for stuff and. It's like, well, what do you like about her? She's like, I don't know, I just like her. And then, like, she said that she was supporting Joe Biden's progressive tax plan and estate taxes and all that stuff. And taxes on unrealized gains. And my cousin is a bigwig at this company called Cargo, which is like a global advocate. She's top, she's like 1, 2, 3, or 5 up there.
Okay.
And Cargo is global.
All right.
I was like, "Hey, have you seen this? Like, this is going to gobble up, you know." And like her husband's father is like a very, very successful guy, and he's not doing great. And then like Lizzie, like our parents, our great grandfather was a really successful dude, and therefore like our grandparents were successful, and you know, our parents were independently successful, but like. That kind of trickles down, you know? And we were talking, I was like, you realize that like this will affect how your grandfather and father pass assets to the rest of the family.
Yeah.
And like your income is, you know, going to get hammered on this.
And yeah.
I'm going to read you her response because this is fascinating as shit.
Okay.
Here it is.
Yeah, my attention.
So this is how the estates will get taxed, blah, 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 blah. I'm too sad to even think about people dying, so I can't stress about it. I'm also in Chicago feeling the good vibes. I'm too worried about people dying to focus on that right now. And I'm just like,
that is. Is that not the typical response, though? Hey, it's comfortable with my head in the sand is essentially what the answer is.
So they're called awfuls. Affluent, white, female, urban liberals.
Okay. Oh, dude, I got to remember that. Okay. Affluent, white, female. Okay.
Affluent, white, female, urban liberals.
Urban liberals.
Or you can just say affluent, white, female, liberals, AWFL.
Okay.
And so that's what we're up against. That's what we're fighting against. And then we're fighting against China. And external factors trying to affect our. So, like, if you look at all this protesting and shit, like, someone has to pay for that. Those people are staying in hotels and they're traveling here, and like, like these people track. They track. Like, there's a guy Talafiro. Excuse me, and you can track a person's phone based on ad tracking.
Yep,
you can tell where the phone is.
Yeah.
So if you have that software and like you can. They can tell you where we all are. And it's like there's 61,000 people in Chicago that have been to 3 Antifa rallies.
Wow.
Total. They've been to at least 3 Antifa rallies. So who's paying for all that? And then if you look at like the campus protests.
Soros Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, when that dude dies, when his dad dies, I will dance a jig in the street and I will make a video. Be like, this
for
is
sure. I think his kid is probably worse though, man. That dude,
Alex is way worse. Alex himself
Soros is way
more political.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of his people are losing elections. Like a lot of his progressives, but they went after the district attorneys, and a lot of those guys are getting hammered. But like, if I'm Trump, dude, on day one, there's going to be a list of 100 things that I start working on, and the Soros Foundation is one of those things.
Sure.
I mean, without question. But I personally think Russia would rather see Trump in office than Kamala Harris.
Definitely. Yeah.
China probably wants a weak leader in the U.S.
That is without a doubt, man. Could you imagine? This is something I don't see people talking enough about. It's very correct to talk about domestic issues because we have a lot of them. But when people talk about why they don't want to see Kamala Harris as president, I don't see them mention enough. Could you imagine a Harris presidency if the Pacific Theater went hot and World War III started?
No.
It would be a nightmare scenario, in my opinion.
Because I think that would require, in my opinion, like the best, like the most, not from a soft standpoint, but from like an overall military strategic standpoint, right? Naval and air assets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, like that's big boy rules. That's not like any enemy force in the Middle East that we can get on the ground, game over. They're going to die. Mm-hmm. They're going to die.
Sure.
We'll have casualties, but they're going to die way, way faster than we are. when you start talking about like China and stuff like that, that's a whole different level of technology. And then you're on level playing field. And at that point, it's like, well, whose air force is more advanced? Because I had a buddy of mine explain it to me. He's like, we'll make advancements in one section and then they'll catch up. And then they'll make an advancement in some technology and then we'll catch up. Like, the last thing we want is anything to do with China. But like, you know, and I do think that if China was going to try to take Taiwan, they would have already done it. But
this year would be optimal, but we're running out of time, and I don't think they're going to try it now.
Well, here's the secret about that. So when you hear them people saying, oh, China's going to take Taiwan, China could only invade Taiwan about, based on weather conditions, about 30 days a year. And you don't know when that's going to be. So the Straits of Taiwan, the winds hold consistent 41 miles an hour. The seas are anywhere from 18 to 45 feet. And like,
that's big.
I mean, dude, landing, the hardest thing I think in the military is landing a fighter jet on an aircraft carrier at night. And that is the hardest thing.
That's what I hear, right? Having never done it myself.
Dude, if you find someone that's a fighter pilot, like, hey man, you ever landed at night on it? And they'll get super serious. And they'll tell you, they'll say, it was just as hard the last time I did it as it was the first time I did it. And that came, that's a direct quote from a former Blue Angel. Two Blue Angels. They're like, it's awful.
And that's kind of the best of the best there you're talking about. For so. Sure.
So, and then if you look at like going from mainland China to Taiwan, that's like 200 miles. So like how do you do it? Like, and also Taiwan is geographically arguably the most defensible piece of real estate on the planet. And it's not by design, it's just how the island is constructed.
Get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
The United States spends a lot of money to keep Taiwan as a porcupine, so to speak, for sure, too. Yeah.
But so I don't, I mean, why does China want Taiwan?
I think it's a narrative, most importantly for them, that they have to make up for the losses and the communist revolution that they had, right? And then, you know, so the other thing too, that when you talk about it, I'm like, yeah, everybody's concerned about a hot war with China because it is the, you know, the biggest peer-to-peer conflict the United States would have ever had or would ever have. But China, I think, is going to try to do this a little bit more subversively. They want to pay people off there in Taiwan to change the political narrative so that their realignment is Taiwan's idea, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And they want the Taiwanese people to have political leaders who make it in Taiwan's best interest to realign with China and then box the United States out that way. And obviously there's a lot of gain there too, because now you're talking about microprocessors and a lot of other things. And, you know, which is why it's so important for the United States to become energy independent and technology independent. But I think that that is best case scenario for China, because I know that China knows that going to war with the United States, despite the fact that you and I both know that the United States is floundering, so to speak, on its recruitment and the buy-in from the younger generation who you'd want to see joining the military, it would be absolutely devastating to China militarily, economically. You know, Xi already has a lot of issues keeping people under his thumb. Even this past year, his rocket force, right? So it's like China military, the PLA's most technologically advanced force. He's replaced a bunch of those generals. And the speculation is that they've got doubt in his leadership, right? So of course he replaces them with yes men, which is just what a dictator does, right? So
yeah.
They know it would be just as detrimental to them as it would be and could be to us. But I do think they'd rather see a political regime change in Taiwan that made it the Taiwanese idea to reunite with China in that way.
Also, China's got to come to grips that, like, we've been fighting for a war for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
When was the last time China was in a war?
They helped out with the Korean War. I mean, that, and even then, you know, not on the level the United States definitely has.
They haven't had a conflict in quite some time. So
yeah,
I think China's more of an economic play. That's their goal. Yeah. Is like Africa,
totally agree.
Other, you know.
Oh, our, yeah. They own Africa.
Yeah. So
when I was there, 5 miles from us where I was at in Kenya, there was a port the Chinese were building for the Kenyans. And I'll give the Chinese this. Policy-wise, when they're building relationships like that, they give them what they need, even though that port, right, to use it as an example, China is going to have a perpetual lease on that port. You know, the Kenyans can use it whenever they want, but if China needs it for a military purpose or whatever, it's now ours, right? And they own it. You know, this is the biggest thing that we could do at this point is try to sort of match and give people better incentives to ally with the United States and then also repair a lot of the things going on in the Middle East. But yeah, to your point, you're right. China owns Africa 100%.
Yeah, and I don't think that there's any countries, any major players in the Middle East that want to see Kamala Harris as president. Like Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel, they absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that everyone. They want to saber rattle and flex and stuff, but Iran now looks like a bunch
of morons.
They just look like morons and cowards. And I think Trump, it's peace through strength, but it's more like peace through
it's deterrence.
Bluffing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a 10%, man, he might come fuck us up.
Well, what did he do? He fucking pink misted Soleimani, right, when he was in office, is the don't fuck with me, right? And that's that, like you just said, it's strength. And the, oh man, I could be next sitting in my car with in a car full of people and I'm the only one that's dead. America's got that reach out and touch somebody, you know. Exactly, man, you nailed it.
And they hit him with the katana, which is
just blitz this dude like a fucking ninja blender, man.
No one else got killed. No,
exactly,
explosions.
That's crazy.
Whack.
Right.
I don't remember when this was. I think this was like maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Israel buzzed like the penthouse of some leader or world leader or something in a foreign country. I should probably look this up because it was just kind of like, hey, asshole.
Yeah.
We know exactly where you are.
Right. You know? Looking him in the eye. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they buzzed his house.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a radical story. This was 15 years ago, 20 years, I don't remember. But,
okay.
I think that like the Abraham Accords, I think Trump will focus on legacy.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of work to finish there. I think he wants to also.
Nobel Peace Prize. I could be wrong. I think he wants to get America back on track. And then, like, you know,
completely agree.
I think J.D. Vance has found his sea legs and is just absolutely throwing haymakers.
Yeah.
So I think we're in a good spot. I wouldn't, if I'm, I mean, it's important to vote, you know, back to your original question. We've been answering for 48 minutes now, but,
no, it's been a great conversation. I appreciate it.
Number4America.org. If you go to our website, click on it, see if you're registered. If you're not registered to vote, register. It'll takes 2 minutes. And then check to see if you are registered, because you may not be. And they purged a lot of voter rolls recently. They're doing it now. Make sure you're registered. And it's not enough, excuse me, to just vote by yourself. You need to find one person and take them to the polls. And every person that listens to this, I can assure you that you've spoken to 10 people today and interacted with 10 people today in some capacity that did not vote in the last election. And here's some scary ass numbers. A lot, just, and I, hunting is my primary form of recreation. I've hunted on 4 continents and I think it's like 24 states or something. That's what I do for fun.
Badass.
This is some scary ass numbers. So in the state of Pennsylvania, 515 licensed hunters and gun owners did not vote in the last election.
Why not support your rights?
It's insane.
It is.
Ohio, these are 18 years and older, resident hunters and anglers and firearms owners. Ohio is 620,000. Red state, safe, but still.
That's almost 750,000 people.
Yeah. Michigan, 300, swing state, 370,000. Yeah. Wisconsin, 338,000.
My God.
What state do you live in? What state do you live in?
Right now, I live in California.
Where are you from originally?
Florida.
Florida was 639,000.
Oh my, you could conceivably say if those people.
670,000.
670,000.
Arizona's 133,000. Nevada's 133,000. Arizona's 181,000.
Yeah.
Missouri, red state, 281,000.
So are these numbers you're saying, are they enough for them in these swing states like Michigan or Pennsylvania to where if those people would have voted, it would have swung the other way?
If we could get 10% of hunters and firearms owners that didn't vote in the last election to vote in the swing states would be California, Oregon, and Washington.
Wow. What you expect can, to just be blue
if we
anyway.
Can add, if we can get 3%. So let me put this into context. Warren Boebert, representative from Colorado, I am not a fan at all. But she's actually okay since she moved districts. She's chilled out. She won her re-election by 30 votes.
Okay. Wow. That's 30. Really close. 30. That's insanely close.
Brandon Herrera lost the Texas 23 primary by 407 votes. He was outspent. They spent $10 million to get Tony Gonzalez elected. Brandon spent $1 million.
Yeah. That's crazy.
For 407 votes.
He was that close.
There was a massive, massive storm.
Yeah.
Election day in Texas, which prevented people from voting. So early voting is super important. We just wrapped up early voting in Florida today. If you look at Montana.
Okay.
So you have swing states. And swing states, if Donald Trump wins Pennsylvania, he has a 96% chance of taking the White House.
That's incredible.
Okay? The White House is going through Pennsylvania this year. So Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin those are your four Rust Belt swing states.
Yeah.
And then you have Georgia, which is like a Sun Belt swing state, but Georgia's is likely red. Then you out west, you have Arizona and Nevada. Okay. Likely red. All right. So that's Trump. That's the election for president. But then you got to consider we need control of the Senate as well. So your big Senate races are Ohio with Sherrod Brown, who is a loser.
Yeah.
You have Dave McCormick, West Point grad, running in Pennsylvania. So McCormick needs about 5,500 votes to win to secure that Senate seat. Manchin's retiring. West Virginia's, I don't even know who the guy running is because that, oh, it's their former governor. Big old fat dude. huge fat man, like 400, 500 pounds.
Oh, my God.
But he was the Democratic governor, and one day he's like, man, you guys are fucked up.
Just switched.
One day he's like, you guys are nuts. So he's got that lock. Then you got Kerry Lake in Arizona.
Who I think,
listen, this Dremel right here has a better chance. You could have run that Dremel and it would have won in Arizona. Kerry Lake is going to lose. She's just not electable. Mm-hmm. She's just not. And then the big seat, the big seat is Montana. So that's Tim Sheehy, who was a Eagle Scout, Naval Academy grad, Navy SEAL officer, multiple combat deployments, awards for valor, Purple Heart, saved three people from drowning. Like
Tim Waltz could never.
In Florida, no one knew about
him. Yeah.
Got out of the military, started an aerial fire suppression business that he sold for $350 million.
Incredible.
Oh, and by the way, he's 38 years old.
Dude, that is the story that the Republicans need.
But see, that's the fucking problem, is that all he does is say, yo, be called two-faced tester. Two-faced tester.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. It's like, dude, we know that you're running. Like, we get it. Joe Biden is bad. John Tester is bad. Trump is good. Like, who the fuck are you?
Right? Give us a reason. Give us legitimate reasons, right?
Just tell me what you're going to do.
Yeah. Like, do you think that Trump is kind of making some of the same mistakes there, where he's focused too much on punching rather than giving? Just if you can just talk facts and give people reasons that it speaks for itself without poking the other one in the eye.
I met with Karl Rove at the RNC. I sat down with him one on one with my partner for an hour and talked.
Nice. Okay.
Ask questions, all that stuff. And my thing is, I think Trump uses too many adverbs.
Okay.
He doesn't use any numbers or statistics. It's all adverbs. This and big
right.
and that.
The greatest. Yeah.
Yeah. It's binary talking. It's like, dude, like, what are you saying, man? Like, what are you saying?
Quantify your statements. Right.
Because you have the arrows in your quiver to fucking, you know, punch through both these lungs here. But he doesn't do that. But I was talking, he goes, Carl goes, that's what makes him such a good communicator. I was like, no. I'm saying he's a bad communicator. You're like, no, that's what makes him good. And I was like, all right. So, and Tim Sheehy is like his social media. I don't know if you've worked with many SEAL officers. They're nerds.
They're nerdy. Jake Zweig is the only SEAL officer I've ever engaged with. If you know
most
who Jake Zweig
SEAL officers, especially ones that went to the Naval Academy.
Yep.
They didn't drink.
Zweig is an Academy grad.
They didn't drink in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're nerdy as shit, but they think they're real funny.
Okay.
And no one's going to check them and be like, hey, man, that's pretty fucking nerdy and stupid. Shut up, dude.
Sure. Zweig is like the opposite. I don't know if you've ever met Jake Zweig, but he's totally the opposite. He's funny.
He's more like a psycho loudmouth Marine than he is like a naval academy. You know what I mean?
I love Jake. No, you're totally right. He's not your typical, like, even like Air Force Academy grads. Like, those guys are fucking
cocksuckers, most of them. You wouldn't think he was an officer.
No, exactly. He's like, oh man, you were an NCO for sure. Yeah, yeah.
You're like a Marine.
Retired E7, you know?
Yeah, you're a line Marine, right?
No, yeah, exactly.
But
totally agree.
It's like two-faced tester is voting with Joe Biden 95% of the time. It's like, listen, guys, Joe Biden isn't running, assholes. He's not running. Shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. Focus on the enemy. And that's Kamala. And I think that.
Well said.
And I called this a couple of weeks ago. My cousin Lizzie was like, y'all are going to lose. Kamala's going to win. And some of my buddies were like freaking out. And I was like, listen, Trump is being quiet for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Trump doesn't talk, the media doesn't have anything to talk about him about.
Great point.
The focus is on Kamala. She gets her little glow up. Hey, girlfriend. Like, she gets her little, her little dust up, glow up thing. And eventually what happens is, I said, the media is going to, when they run cover for you, they want access.
Mm-hmm.
They want access to you. You have to sit for interviews. You got to answer their questions. You got to give them their talking points. Otherwise, they just look like idiots running cover for you.
Yeah.
And if you will notice, every single day leading up to yesterday, CNN, 1, 2, 3 times a day, minimum twice a day, has had someone on their show hitting Kamala. Mm-hmm. She won't. And even Jim Acosta was like, would it kill you guys to sit for an interview? And he was like, oh, we're doing them. And he's like, and then one guy was like, so when is she doesn't have to, this is like a Tuesday. It's like, well, she doesn't have, she's doing a rally on Friday. He goes, it's Tuesday. I want to know what she's doing today. Can we get her on the phone now? Can we do an interview? And they're like, no. So that starts to Trump. If you notice a difference between Trump this cycle than last cycle, his campaign managers, Chris LaCivita, is doing a fantastic job. And Trump is contrary to what the polls say, Trump is kicking the shit out of Kamala right now.
I agree.
It's only going to get worse for her.
So, yeah, and when you say that, I just want to say too out loud that if you're listening, don't get complacent and just think that Trump is going to win. You need to still get your ass in your car with your buddy and go vote for him.
That could all change tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He could do something stupid.
No doubt.
Very easily.
Anything could happen, man. You're right.
She could – dude, there is a long, long time till this election. And the election does not start till after Labor Day. The amount of everything you've seen up, until now is that's nothing. Wait till the election side. Wait till.
Oh yeah. Do you think that Tim Walz's bullshit, his whole stolen valor thing, or his implied valor, like you said earlier, you think it's going to catch up with him? And if it does, think they'd swap him out? Well, I mean, do you think enough to where they'd swap him out?
Well, wait until Monday, dude, when he's locked in.
Yeah.
Do you think stolen valor is the worst thing they have on that guy?
No.
You're going to see some stuff. You're going to hear some stuff about little boys, like high school kids.
Holy fuck, dude.
You're going to hear some gnarly shit come out about him. You're going to hear a bunch more stuff about China. And keep this in mind. If he's the Democratic VP nominee with Kamala, he's on the ticket. They're through the DNC. Like you don't think they're going to hit him pre-Labor Day with like the nasty stuff, right?
No. Yeah, you got to be strategic. You're right.
He stood up a gay club at one of the high schools he worked at. He's taking a bunch of kids to
it's a weird interest with underage people, you know?
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, man. And then he's taking a bunch of kids to China with him, and like they'll be doing a lot of dirt when it comes
out. Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
A lot of dirt. Another project I'm working on. Now we're crossing the hour. Is smoke less vets?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah. that's a project with smoke.
We less did a video on it.
Yeah, and so it has to do with smoking. The best way to quit smoking is transitioning onto less harmful forms of nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
Like cold turkey doesn't work. Nicotine patches don't work. Nicotine lozenges don't work.
Yeah.
And nicotine gum absolutely doesn't work.
Yeah.
And the best way to quit smoking is transitioning off of smoke tobacco onto smokeless tobacco, like vaping. One thing that's super interesting about nicotine patches is that they're awesome for COVID.
It's a vascular
dilator. Yeah, it's a vascular dilator.
How funny is that?
Yeah. But there's been a couple studies out of Sweden, Switzerland, one out of London that talked about best way to quit smoking and whatnot, and the things that don't work. And then, like, you go to the VA, and there's this silly, there's a silly ass poster on the wall that they spent $50 million developing, and it's like, if you feel stressed or you want a cigarette, text stress to this number, and someone will call you and talk you out of smoking a cigarette. Like, how does that work? Like, come on.
Right? If you're going to reach in your pocket for your phone, you're probably going to reach in and grab your pack of Reds, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, but who are you going to talk to? And how long are they willing to talk to you? Like, how long can you keep them on the phone, you know?
Hey, bro, can you talk me off the ledge with these menthol lights? Yeah?
Yeah, dude, it's kind of insane, man. So that's another project we're working on, and the Biden administration isn't being honest with the veterans about what works and what doesn't, and efficient Shocker. Ways to quit smoking and to get off of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And so our goal is to get 500,000 veterans to quit smoking by 2030.
Outstanding. Yeah.
I'm trying to find something. Where's my glass? Oh, well, anyway, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I think that's good because, you know, if I know you're not a veteran, but I mean, on base, it's a culture. You know, there's literally a liquor store on base, the Class 6, which I'm sure you're probably familiar with. You go to the Absolutely. Shop Ed or any of the auto hobby shops or anything like that on base, and there's a wall of cigarettes. And it's just one of those things. It's like it's implied. Shit, the best deal you can get in town on alcohol is on base, you know? So
yeah.
There's all these methods to cope with stress and just these opportunities to get addicted to something that is harmful to you when, you know, and then the VA is really good at suppressing information on things like vapes or nicotine, like Zen, right? There's a bunch of different alternative things that you can do that are better for you because you're not inhaling smoke. You're not inhaling all those carcinogens, that are in cigarettes, right? So, I mean, there are a bunch of different avenues. I know that smokelessvets.org has a bunch of different things that you can get resource-wise to make better decisions. So,
yeah, nicotine isn't bad for you. Nicotine is kind of like a miracle drug.
Right.
Like, it is without tobacco, is bad for you. Nicotine is not bad for you at all whatsoever.
Mm.
And most people don't know that. So the current administration, through the VA, is not giving people accurate information, which is something that they deserve. And then they were talking about banning like menthol cigarettes. And it's like,
right.
Like 100,000 people a year die from fentanyl and all this other crazy shit.
Right.
And you're worried about.
You got Chuck Schumer trying to ban Zen. You know, Tim Walz, stay on topic. What is this? Like a 95% tax on Zen in the state of Minnesota. Like it's fucking nuts.
Which is completely and totally insane.
It is insane. That's like, fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's completely insane, man. So anyway, all right. Well, listen, dude, I appreciate it. I have been
no, up I appreciate you, Baker.
4:30 this morning.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the time, dude. It was a great conversation. Getting to hear your thoughts, and then of course, I want to drive home the fact that if you're just leave me alone, I just want to want low taxes and to sit out here and not be bothered. The time has come, man. You need to participate in this political experiment here and preserve your rights so you can get left alone eventually.
Yeah, leave me alone on my 4-acre garden to grow my tomatoes.
Right.
Because here's the deal. If you don't participate, they're going to come over and they're going to take your garden and they're going to take your tomatoes and they're going to take your 4 acres.
Yep. By the time they're standing on the other side of your fence, it's too late.
Absolutely, man. Listen, dude, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for your time and you have a good night.